This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll... temperature change here, Kurt.
20 degrees.
20 degrees. That'll work, man.
See, if you live in Colorado, you're like, I love this.
I know.
One day here, we just love it.
And we're getting close to our hunting season.
Yeah.
Big game.
So you're really getting excited.
Archery season opened this last Saturday. So y'all are guys, our Sportsman of Colorado show, a whole bunch are already out hunting. But we needed this little bit of break.
So I'm gonna have to plan times when you're not going to be here. It is.
You are.
Yeah. You know, okay. Like maybe all of October.
All of October. Yes or no.
Just say goodbye.
Absolutely. Okay. Again, Kurt Rogers sponsors our show with Affordable Interest Mortgage, and as I always say, your one-stop shop for all of your mortgage needs. So, Kurt, what's happening in the mortgage world right now?
Well, you know, they talked about rates going up. We haven't really seen them. The Fed said they're going to raise the rates in September. We're starting to see a little movement because when you actually apply for a loan, the money that you're locking at that rate, you're locking it 30 to 45 days down the road. So right. If the rates are going to start to change, the lenders have already started to take effect. Hasn't moved a lot. Maybe a tenth is all. So other than that, there's a lot of activity. With people, you know, kids are back in school. People are looking at, you know, paying off some debt, cutting down their cash flow so they have more of it to get ready for the holidays.
Absolutely.
We're seeing a lot of that, people doing some refis.
Again, Kurt's number 720-895-0500. And if you've got any kind of mortgage questions whatsoever, I know they'll be glad to help you out. Well, our show here on Haystack Help Radio, a special edition, is Your Money Matters. And normally we talk about a lot of financial issues, but... Every couple months, we like to do some community things, Kurt.
Once with the Douglas County Sheriff, as we have today, Tony Spurlock, and then we also do Bob Baker from the
South Metro Fire
Department.
Absolutely.
These are two organizations we definitely need around us.
For sure. Absolutely. So, sir, good to see you again, Tony Spurlock.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's funny, I didn't know that you have Bob Baker on the show.
Yeah.
I just had breakfast with him the other day, and I like to give him heck whenever I can.
Yeah, right. Your shot at him.
Take a shot at him.
Because he comes back in about 3 weeks, I'll make sure he takes a shot at you. What a great guy.
Oh, great guy, great agency. We work very closely with South Metro, and what a bunch of decent people over there.
I mean, it really is a complete first responding type unit, because a lot of times when you see fire trucks, you see police cars or sheriff's cars, and when you see police cars, sheriff's cars, you see a fire truck. So you guys got to communicate pretty well.
Yeah, we do, and we work a lot. We do a lot of training together. Our communication centers work very closely together. We just had a presentation yesterday about EVL dispatching, which essentially fire department's been doing it for a long time, where they can see where all their pieces of apparatus are. Now we can see where all of our police cars at, and you dispatch the closest thing. And so now we are kind of working with them a little bit about, how does that really work for us?
Mm-hmm.
And they've been doing it for such a long time. So they've kind of been giving us some guidance and stuff. So it's neat to work with fire departments for that reason. Sometimes they are a little bit more aggressive in their technology than we are sometimes.
But, man, and we've seen several instances, just things happen. But communication is key. I mean, in what you guys do, communication is
huge.
It is huge. And we have just been doing some things where we have been putting aircraft in the air, apparatus on the ground, law enforcement on the ground, doing evacuation training for fires and those types of things. And when you have all those moving parts, there has to be somebody that's on top of that. And the communication is key. And if we bring everyone together, on that, everyone knows where everyone's at, and that's part of the fun thing too, is to see some of the new technology that's out there to help us track all of that. Because you can imagine you have 2-3 helicopters in the air, and you have 10-15 pieces of apparatus on the ground and a bunch of cop cars.
Sure.
You need to know where they're all at.
Yeah,
you really do.
And it's not like somebody can hide with all of that.
Right.
They're going to find you.
Yeah.
Yes.
I want to go back a little bit, Tony. You've been a police officer for a while. Okay, we haven't talked about this past. I really would like to know how you when you started, decided you wanted to be one, and how long you've been one. And then the last part of that question is going to be, why did you want to become chief? Well, you can get that at the end.
Okay.
He's probably wondered that.
Yeah, he's like, why am I doing this?
Yes. You know, I've got 38 years this month.
Wow.
Yes. 38 years on the 21st this month.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So that's a long time. I've done a lot of things in that 38 years. Essentially worked every division. Held every rank in the sheriff's office at one time or another. And so, you know, I always wanted to do it when I was a kid. And that, now it's hard to think back 38 years ago. I lost some memory. But I do remember one thing, and that is our current sitting U.S. Marshal, which is Dave Weaver, was my sheriff at the time. And he came to me and he says, you know, you probably ought to do this. I'm not going to be here forever, and you probably ought to be the sheriff. You ought to start working towards that. There are a number of days where I want to try to find him to give him the kick. You know, that's how that happened. You know, we've been working together. We've known each other for 35 years, 33, 34 years ourselves. And so we have just really worked together over those years, and one thing led to another. And Kind of worked out. So it's actually not a bad deal.
Now, you've been chief how long?
4 years.
Pretty much the same?
Oh, no. No. You know, I was the undersheriff for 9 years.
Right.
And that's really the CEO of the place, runs the operation, handles all the personnel.
Back end.
Exactly, back end. You know, my undersheriff, Holly Nicholson-Cluth, is awesome. She does all that. She's a super bright lady, and she makes it look a lot more simpler than when I was doing it. But, you know, at the top, it's completely different. The things that I was doing then and what I'm doing now is completely different. There's lots of negotiations, lots of putting deals together, and we've done that. We've been very successful. But looking at from the 30,000-foot level and looking down, and, you know, when you have 500-600 people that you're managing, it's a completely different view.
Sure. Well, just the sheer growth alone.
That's what I was going to go to. In four years, how big has Douglas County grown?
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. The changes that you've seen, and we were kind of talking about it before, we both lived in Douglas County for quite a few years. And Parker used to be two lanes, not what it is now. With the expansion of what's going on in Douglas County, how do you see... Where is it going to continue to grow? Has it caused too much pressure in certain areas? How's it doing?
Well, you know, the north end is growing pretty significantly.
Yes.
There's a lot of businesses coming in, big businesses. There's some industry coming in, which helps because that kind of spreads out the land mass a little one. But the infrastructure is what really the deal is. And if you're not doing smart infrastructure, that's a problem. You know, Highlands Ranch did a great job. They made wide roads, knowing that they were going to grow. I'm not very impressed with the C-470 people that were thinking that. The forethought there was not very bright, because it's been under construction since the day it started.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
So that's been an issue, because all of southern Denver Metro and Jefferson County and Arapahoe County passed through there, and they passed through Douglas County.
Yes,
and of course they go shopping at the Park Meadows Mall, and they go down to Castle Rock to the factory outlets and
Cabela's. That's Scott's favorite place.
I like that place too. I like their big parking lots. There's still trouble finding car spaces in there.
No kidding.
But you know, the infrastructure is a key thing. But growth on the north end is essentially we've all touched now, and now it's going east and west. You know, further east in Parker and further west in Douglas County and Chatfield and Chatfield Estates and now Sterling Ranch. And as we talked, everything's going south. Everything's moving south and then moving east. So Elbert County is now seeing what we saw when we were, you know, Kirk in here in the 80s, early 80s. They're there now. They're seeing that growth and people buying up pieces of land and corporations buying up property and saying, hey, we can grow here. Our eastern county line border line, which is Delbert Road, it's not the same. It's paved. You can't tell the difference between one side and the other side and which jurisdiction you're in. There's big homes, there's big communities of 50, 60, 70 homes and little clumps. And you get up to Arapahoe County where the triangle is, Arapahoe, Douglas, and Elbert County meet, Singing Hills.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big, huge, you know, there's a major intersection there. So the growth over those years has been significant, for sure.
Wow. Yeah. And number of schools. I mean, wow. I mean, just the number of, you know, different middle schools, high schools, all the things. And I don't know how many there were. I didn't move here till 93, but, I mean, there's been a lot since then, needless to say.
Well, Highlands Ranch was one of the, when I moved in, I was in 83 in Acres Green. Highlands Ranch was a nice subdivision with the school going on, but there wasn't a whole lot more beyond that. Park Meadows wasn't there. I used to take my kids out in an ATV on there, pull them around on an inner tube in the snow. And then you just start seeing all this growth. Now, I understand off of Lincoln, there's going to be a massive amount of a new shopping center or something coming in, massive amount of business that's coming there.
There's a lot of growth there on Lincoln all the way east and west.
Yeah.
And you talk about schools. In 1980, there were two high schools in Douglas County, Ponderosa and Douglas County. There are 11 high schools in Douglas County now. There are 86 either elementary or middle schools.
Yeah.
85, 86 some thousand kids in our school district. And Douglas County is very unique. We have a single school district.
Yes.
So elementary schools pop up wherever you have those that massive growth. They got to put a feeder for the little people, and that feeds into those other schools. And so the school district is shot off the charts. And I do remember when there was two high schools.
Wow.
And there's 11 of them now, and I think there's 20 some charter or STEM schools collectively in Douglas County as well.
So let's take before the Columbine tragedy to where we are today. What's changed in the way your office gives attention to schools?
I have just my office. We have almost 20 people assigned just to the schools in the juvenile unit, which is the SRO and juvenile unit. Pre-Columbine, we probably had four or five.
Mm-hmm.
And that's across the country. And so attention to school safety is huge.
Right.
And you have to do that in two different ways. You either have to make your security hardened, so the building has to be of a design that you can protect and keep people out, or you need to have law enforcement boots on the ground security type stuff, which is expensive as well.
Sure.
And so those are the big changes since Columbine, and we've seen a lot of that. I talked to my good friend Dave Walter, the sheriff of Arapahoe County, and we do a lot of things together and work on those kinds of ideas on what's the best way, the smartest way, and how do we provide protection to the school districts. And you can imagine Arapahoe County, 600,000-700,000 people in Arapahoe County itself, the five different school districts, four or five different school districts. That's very complex and very difficult to deal with all of those different nuances.
Is there some way that they have not done, or is there something that can be done to maybe, besides putting an officer in the school, that could prevent some of this?
Well, you know, part of it is, I mean, if you're just going to talk security, and that's hardening the building, making it to where people can't get in.
See, because there's so many. I mean, places are campuses. I mean, man, you know, you look at Valor Christian School. Good. That place looked like a college.
Well, when
know?
I went to school.
And there's doors everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I would, and nothing else, but I mean, any school. I would just about bet you and I could go to several schools right now.
Get in.
And find some doors open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I went to school, you know, there was always an exit. So if there was an exit, it was an entrance. It stopped you from coming in.
Exactly.
It never happened when I was younger. But how do you protect that?
I mean, yeah. You know, and a lot of it is, I just went to the first day of school over at the American Academy, which is operated by a good friend of mine, Erin Kane, who used to be the ex-superintendent of schools of Douglas County. And she is now their superintendent. And so I got to watch what they did. Now, here's a K through 8 or 9, 8, and 400 or 500 kids in this school. And they have it down. There's two ways you can get into that school. Every other door is locked. And staff is at the front, and they meet them. And no parents walk into the school. You drop your child off right there, and then someone else picks the child up and take him in, even with kindergarten. And they and the parents know that. They get dropped off in a spot, so everyone's watching them. There's tons of eyes on people. And then when the bell rings, the doors get closed, and you don't get in there without either having prior access available to that or by some employee. And that didn't cost them a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
It costs organization and time and sitting down and saying, okay, how do we figure this out? But as you said, there are a lot of these schools that are being built like these campuses where they have all these amazing, the architectural is crazy, and you have doors everywhere.
Yeah.
And so managing that is a very complicated problem. And Rich Payne, who's the security director of Douglas County Schools, I know he pulls his hair out all the time because he's always calling me, hey, we got this issue, we have that issue. And one of his things is hardening the schools.
Mm-hmm.
Protecting the structure of the school. It's probably the cheapest thing to do long term, but up front it's pretty pricey.
Right. Yeah. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio in a very special edition here of Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. If you've got any questions or comments, we'll open up our phone lines, 303-477-5600. We'll be right back.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you buy a new car, pay off bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there's a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. Now, before you say, oh, that's not for me, just hear me out. I want to invite you to a half-day trading course so you can check this out. I promise you, you'll go away smarter than when you came in. We here at Online Trading Academy sponsor this, and we'll even send you home with a free home study video guide. Your money's doing nothing for you in a CD or mutual fund. Learn how to profit when the market's up or down. Call us now while seats are still available at 303-325-2776. Use offer code RADIO50. 303-325-2776. That's 303-325-2776.
Hi, this is Scott Watley. Now, many times you hear your radio host like me say something like, let me tell you about my friends at, then we'll talk about a sponsor that we truly believe in and endorse. Well, in this case, let me tell you about a company that really is part of my family, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. For over 13 years, we have trusted our furry family members to this wonderful staff. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they believe that all pets deserve to have a good life. And their goal is to help you keep your pets happy and healthy throughout their life by providing complete pet care services every day, all at one location. We love the Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center Boarding Lodge, and your pet will too. Your pet will receive one-on-one care and attention throughout their stay. Open 7 days a week for your convenience. Check them out. Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, located at 8681 Lincoln Avenue in Lone Tree. 303-708-8050. 303-708-8050. Or check them out online at lonetreevet.com.
Without changing your budget, own your home faster. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have learned to pay less interest to the bank, not change their spending habits, and own their home faster. Affordable Interest Mortgage has a possible solution. 720-895-0500. Does your current loan allow you to access your equity without refinancing for another loan at higher rates? Does your current loan allow your equity to make your mortgage payment without late fees or dinging your credit? At AIM, we have a loan that allows you those freedoms, all for 30 years. This could be the last loan you need. Pay off your home faster, pay less interest to the bank, access your equity when you need it, skip payments. Call AIM for details, 720-895-0500. If you're tired of paying all that interest up front on a traditional 30-year fixed, call 720-895-0500 and let us save you thousands. Home of the Asset Manager, locally owned and operated, where it is all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298-191, Equal Credit Lender.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley, along with Kurt Rogers. We are glad to have Sheriff Tony Spurlock in studio. Two things I wanted to bring up, and then we'll try to get to what we said we were going to talk about, Kurt. One is, and Kevin Flesch is a personal injury attorney, criminal attorney that does a show with me each week. And Kevin did a show last week, and he just put out a plea to everybody. When they see emergency vehicles, pull over to the right. He said he saw, you know, a fire truck and an ambulance going by, and people weren't even pulling over.
Weren't even slowing down.
I mean, I guess they felt like, hey, you know, there's a lane to my left. They can get by. And so just give us a little bit of word there, safety of, you know, people. And when you see emergency stuff, get over.
Sure. You know, there's two things. One, if the emergency vehicle's moving, you should move to the right.
Right.
Allow them to have those two center lanes or wherever you're at. You know, get away from the median. Allow them to move to the left. If the emergency vehicle is stopped, then you go the other direction. You're supposed to slow your speed to a manageable speed and then move over to the left so they're not struck. We've had some tragedies in both the fire department and law enforcement where people get struck by cars who are not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that's important to remember is when it's at nighttime, your eyes will automatically draw themselves to that light. If your eyes are doing that, so are your hands. And if your hands are doing it, so is your car.
Mm-hmm.
And people just need to be aware of that. Don't stare at the lights. Look away. Slow down and move to the left if the car stopped. But I see that all the time. I see a fire truck coming down the road trying to get through an intersection, and people are on their phones. People are texting. You know, people are checking their email.
Eating a sandwich.
Yeah. And they don't move out of the way. And you really want those vehicles to get to where they need to get to in the most efficient an expeditious way, and you've got to get out of the way. And I know that there's some folks that have been trying to help us with doing this educational portion. Just move over when you see, you hear the siren, you see the lights, assess which way they're going, move to the right if it's moving, move to the left if it's stopped.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that came about 20 years ago. That came to force. I was in an ambulance with my father-in-law, and he had to slow down in traffic because it wasn't getting out of the way. And then I understood the true importance.
Sure.
We needed to get him to the hospital.
Sure.
So right. It only had to happen once because there's a reason that those lights are on. Right. Somebody either that has to get there or they're taking them somewhere else.
Right.
So it's very important.
The other topic I want to touch on real quick, I was talking with the gentleman this morning. I told him you were going to be on. And he said about concealed carry. All of our permits usually go through the sheriffs of our counties, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Suppressors, if you want to get a suppressor.
So do the sheriff.
Go to the sheriff kind of thing, too. What are tips that you would give for those that are concealed carry holders? We get pulled over, okay? We have a weapon in our car. Your suggestions on that. Some people say, hey, tell the officer up front before he asks anything. Other people say, hey, you know, if he asks, tell him. Other than that, don't say anything because then you're just giving a lot of opportunity. And my thing, well, I'm not doing anything wrong, and I've got a permit, and I want him to feel comfortable and safe, right, or her to feel comfortable and safe. So what are your thoughts on that?
I tell everyone that the two key points, if you're carrying a concealed weapon, I say don't say anything at this point. You're not required to.
Right.
As long as, and this is the second part of that, hands on the steering wheel, because they do not know who you are,
mm-hmm,
contrary to what television says. They don't know who you are. They don't know. We may be looking for a silver sedan, and you're in a silver sedan, but you're not the bad guy.
Right.
Hands on the steering wheel. Answer the questions. If they ask you to get out of the car, whatever, that's when I always tell everyone, inform them. Then say, listen, yes, officer, I will do this, but I want to let you know I'm a concealed handgun carrier. I have the weapon on. And tell them where it's at. Hands always on the wheel. And then they're trained to ask other certain circumstances. But 99% of the time, if you get contacted by police and it has nothing to do with, you know, that you have a gun on, I say don't say anything because you're not required to say anything.
Right.
It's not necessary to say it. And he'll finish, him or her will finish their business, go on their way, you'll go on their way, everything will be fine. Nobody knows the difference because the officers don't know. I mean, it's not like it's flagged on the car. Oh, hey, you.
And there have been rumors that, oh, when they check your license, it comes up you're concealed carry, and that's what I wanted to let people know. That's not true.
That is not true. It's very, very difficult to dig through. My office, we do not put it on an open database. Mm-hmm. I have to keep a database because I'm required to do that, but it's not on an open database.
Right.
Most of the sheriffs in the state of Colorado have that same policy. So we just don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier about growth, how has the crime rate in Douglas County changed in the last couple of years? Is it partially because of the growth or just because of where we're all headed?
It moves with the growth, obviously, and some of where we're headed, because you put more people in a spot, you're going to have more issues just by nature. So, you know, percentage of growth, you're going to have that percentage of almost always.
Our percentages are pretty much staying the same.
They're staying the same, but it's growing.
Because
of the population.
More people.
Right. And the one change that you see is your traffic stuff, traffic accidents, you know, crashes, those kinds of things. Those will increase just because of volume of folks. And you're going to have more people. You're going to have more crime in the sense of the opportunity for people to steal from them. So those percentages rise the same. And then, again, we just put a lot of people in a spot. Inevitably, you're going to have folks that are going to come in contact with law enforcement. So those rise as well. But I still like to say, you know, we have at least in Douglas County, we have a very safe place to live. We keep a cap on that crime. And I would say, for the most part, a lot of the suburbs are the same way. We do a very good job of keeping a cap on that. But there's been some crazy things happen. I was just talking to the chief of police of Parker. In the last, 9 or 10 days, they've had 3 armed robberies. And, you know, fluke type stuff maybe. But, you know, again, what we talked about, Parker Road is now, you know, six lanes. Easy to... one would think it's easy. It's not easy to get here.
No.
You know, but you have a lot of lanes of traffic, which will pull a lot of people.
Right. Yeah, I think there was a Goodwill store.
Yes, it was.
One of those that I saw. I mean.
It's a Goodwill store.
Goodwill store.
Well, you don't figure you're going to get much resistance.
Yeah.
I mean, that's about the only thing. I think also at this time of year, there's a lot of opportunity as kids are going back to school. We're starting to get ready for the holidays, so people have a tendency that their mind's even more occupied and they're not paying attention to their surroundings. I'm seeing in my neighborhood a lot of people leaving their garage doors open.
Oh, sure. I can tell you in Douglas County, you leave your garage door open, the chances of you having something stolen out of your garage or your car is it almost a 50% chance. Yeah. We contact people all the time that are, you know, bad people that are driving through the neighborhoods, both during the day and at night.
Mm-hmm.
And if the garage door is open, they're in and out in less than a minute. We get video from people that have their video cams on their houses.
I tell you, this little device we got recently, it's called Ring on the doorbell.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody walks by, it comes right to my phone. It shows them right there. I can push a button on my phone, talk to them from right here.
Can I help you?
Yeah. But, I mean, it's really cool, you know. And, I mean, for very little money, too.
Yes. And that's a great safety prevention type program to have, because it will scare them off. Because remember, they don't want to get caught.
Right.
So they're going to skedaddle. But we have so many people that leave their garage doors open and then their purses in their car, their briefcases in their car, garage
keys
door
are
opener,
in their car.
Keys.
And a lot of time, and I mean, I'd probably say we're all guilty of this a lot, is the entry door from the garage into the house.
Unlocked.
Well, we have a code.
Because when's the last time you walked out of your front door? You know, I mean.
I don't.
We never use our front door.
My wife and I have a code, and we hit the button. Every time we walk, we hit the button. The only way you get in the house now is with the code. It's just safer for us. Have one on the front door. It's just easier. I don't need my keys. I got the code.
Hmm.
And since I don't drink, it's easy to remember the code.
There you go.
Real quick before our break, we were talking before we came on today about a special event you're going to have on September the 9th. So tell us about that.
Sure. We're having a softball tournament September 9th. Starts like 7:30 in the morning, goes till, I'm told, 8 or so. We have some 17 teams from from around the country. We have some teams coming from out of state and in the metro area. From Adams County down to El Paso County, supporting the widows of the 3 deputy sheriffs that were killed, December 31st and then in January and February, right. March. So Deputy Gum's family, Deputy Flick, and Deputy Parrish's family all will receive benefits from this. 100% of the proceeds are going to them, split three ways. We have a bunch of folks that put this thing together. So it's going to be fun. We have food trucks. It's going to be at the Douglas County Fairgrounds. A lot of food trucks that will be there. Some other kind of fun entertainment. And it's just going to be a really neat thing. We had the brewer, not really sure what you call those guys, but at the Rock Yard,
right.
They made a special brew for this event. It's a blueberry banana ale brew.
Blueberry banana beer.
Well, I think that was to make it the color. It pours out blue. It's pretty neat.
Wow.
It's pretty neat. They made one batch of it. And they donated a bunch of it to us, and then they'll have it for sale there as well, which would just be kind of fun. And wow. We're really trying to do this two things. One is let's get back to having some fun in our lives.
Sure.
But let's also remember these officers. And then if we can make a little money and help the families out a little bit, we can do that. And so this tournament has really kind of gone crazy in the sense of its size.
It's funny when you put a little thought like that, you think, oh, we'll get, you know, 4 to 6 teams to come out and do something fun, and then all of a sudden it just blows up. Yeah.
I think it's a very good thing. Now, you have a team.
We do.
Douglas County has a team.
We're looking for some ringers now because we've told that there's some others that have it. And so I've told the chief and the sergeant that's in charge of this, if we're not knocking on the Rockies' doors that live in Douglas County, you can throw the ball underhanded one time for us.
Sure.
So
absolutely.
You don't plan on going very far in this tournament.
Well, yeah, I don't want to say anything bad about the guys and gals that are on the team right here, but I'm a little worried about our first elimination. So,
all right, we'll come out. This is September the 9th, and it'll be the Douglas County Fairgrounds. Start about 7 a.m. Be a lot of fun. Come out and support this and help those families as well, and just, I say, a good community effort there. So September the 9th. Again, this is Haystack Help Radio. We'll be right back.
Littleton Heating and Air Conditioning is proud of their 45 years of HVAC service to Littleton, Highlands Ranch, and Denver metro area. Littleton Heating and Air Conditioning is your Lennox and Carrier expert heating and air conditioning contractor. They are proud to offer the finest heating, air conditioning, and indoor air quality products with prompt and professional customer service and satisfaction. Call today and mention Haystack Help Radio and save $25 off any repairs or $100 off your furnace installation. Call 303-798-3880. That's 303-798-3880 for your appointment today. Littleton Heating and Air, A-plus members of the Better Business Bureau and official Haystack Help registered company.
Ladies, I know you're tired of walking into the local gun store and seeing the same old thing. So let me tell you about Rampart Firearms. Just a quarter mile up Highway 67 off of Santa Fe and Sedalia, you will find a great selection of guns, ammo, tactical, and personal defense weapons. And if you or your spouse love to hunt, Rampart Firearms is a great stop for all of your hunting needs. Shotguns, rifles, pistols, anything from predator hunting to your next big game trip. Head to Rampart Firearms at the foot of the Rockies. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And you will only pay a 4% tax on your purchase. RampartFirearms.com, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050.
You were injured in an accident. You went to the doctor and you thought your insurance would cover it. But that was before you realized how the insurance company actually works. And before you knew how long your pain would really last. So now you're stuck with a bunch of bills that you can't afford. And the nagging pain has been keeping you up all night, making you feel like you're going to lose your mind every day. You are not alone. There is an answer. Call Flesh & Beck Injury Attorneys. Flesh & Beck have the experience and the knowledge to navigate the complicated maze created by the insurance companies designed to minimize your claim. They will answer all of your questions and help you to determine if you are entitled to compensation for your pain and suffering. If you've been injured in an accident, call Flesh & Beck Injury Law at 303-806-8886 for a free consultation to find out if Flesh & Beck can help you get the compensation that you deserve.
Still wondering if a reverse mortgage may be helpful to you? Steve Hurley here with Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. Let's schedule some time. Your home or my office. The choice is yours, and let's get those questions answered. I understand that this type of mortgage isn't for everyone. You will never know for sure until you get those questions answered. Take AIM at 720-895-0500. Ask for me, Steve Hurley, NMLS number 243200, regulated by DORA, an equal opportunity lender.
Got a question for the station? Email info at CrawfordBroadcasting.com. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
We are back. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We are glad to have Mr. Tony Spurlock in studio. And just say real quick, we certainly appreciate all of our men and women that serve in any first responder area with our police, sheriff, fire department, everybody, Kurt. Because, man.
Can you imagine what it would be like if we didn't have them?
No kidding.
I mean, that's just, I didn't always like mom and dad, but it was a good thing that they were always there.
For sure. And when you look at all the things today, I mean, I can't imagine wearing a body cam for just one day and everybody seeing everything that you react to and how you just do and business, whatever, much less real life reactions. So the pressure that they are willing to accept to serve in this capacity.
Well, now take that further. Let's say it's showing for 8 hours, mm-hmm. but somebody else gets it and they only take 12 seconds here or 8 seconds here mm-hmm. of that whole 8 hours. It's like, it could be a little bit slanted.
Yeah, yeah.
And not give you all the facts.
You know how that is, too. You do a media interview, TV. They're good at this. They'll come and talk to you, and I've done a few different things for whatever reason over the years, and I talk 20 minutes with different questions. It comes on at, the 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock news, and it's about 16 seconds of what I said, and that really didn't come out what I really
said. It's their agenda, not necessarily what you said.
If you can get more than a minute and a half on the nightly news,
right.
you know somebody.
you do. Well.
Because it's normally 30 minutes for, like you said, 15, 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Or so, 30 seconds.
So it works pretty good. I wanted to ask you, you have a community relations department, and you have different programs inside of that.
Yes, community relations unit.
Yep,
that does a lot of things with the community.
And again, try to let everybody understand that just because you're wearing a uniform doesn't mean you are this type of person. That you have another life, and there's other things you do. What are some of the programs that the unit does?
Sure, they call themselves this is the fun unit of law enforcement.
The fun side.
The fun side. We have a number of things that we do. Work with it's called Colorado Life Track, which is really kind of a neat program. We got some grants to where we were able to get money to buy batteries for these tracking watches for folks who have developmental disabilities, maybe either a young person or someone that's a senior that has Alzheimer's or dementia. And you put the watch on them. We can track them if they go off and wander because you just really – they're so vulnerable, vulnerable to the environment. Once a month, we have a unit that goes out and changes those batteries, and we do education programs, and we're able to go get some grants so they don't have to pay for it because a lot of times it's folks that just can't afford it. So, those they do that. We have a YES program, which is youth education and safety program, which is taught at the school, that really focuses on education for the kids. We do a little bit of prevention, suicide prevention talks, and guidance and education programs. But most of it is really about giving these kids this exposure to law enforcement and then all of the things that touch it. So that's a really wonderful program, and then we have a unit that's inside that does just community outreach. We do some really wonderful things. We had a young kid that was struck by a car in a hit and run, and the officers kind of just connected with this young boy, and he came to our office with his family, and he had a birthday, and so he brought five of his best buddies. And they got to go through our office and go through all of our cool equipment and got to climb all over it. And, these are, 10, 11-year-old boys.
Yeah, how old was he?
Yeah, 10, 11-year-old boys. And they just had a blast. And we had a company provide us lunch and brought in food for them. And that's kind of what this community does, community relations group does. It's just a touch. They're very, very heavily in Special Olympics. I happen to be the state chair of the Colorado Special Olympics for the torch run, so coordinating all of the law enforcement agencies around the state. My community relations unit obviously will focus on that pretty significantly. One of the things that they do is that we have all these special events where we have the plane pull out at DIA. We do tip a cop at certain restaurants. We have the polar plunge, which is
tip a cop.
Tip a cop, yeah.
So give like, a cop a tip.
Yeah, well, actually, what we do is we come to a restaurant, we serve the food, and then they want to put some money into it in an envelope, and it goes to Special Olympics. So we call it Tip a Cop. And we have Polar Plunge, which is always my favorite because I love it. It's in the middle of the winter. It's freezing cold. We go get some firemen. They cut a hole in the ice out of Aurora Reservoir, and then we get gazillion people. And I mean, it's amazing how many people will come out in sub-zero weather, throw on a crazy outfit, they raise money for it, and then they go jump in the water. It goes all around the state of Colorado.
Yeah, you see it. It's something I think, yeah, I try that once just because it's foolish.
Yes.
And I get to, you're going to raise money when you do it.
We raise money, and it, I got to tell you, it is foolish.
Have you jumped?
Every year I do it, and I catch cold every year because it's cold outside.
What's the costume you wear? Don't tell me it's your uniform.
No. We always have something new. We've had cool T-shirts. People do different things. Like we get a lot of other folks that want to be a part of this, so they'll wear crazy outfits and then jump in the water. The fire department will come in. We have academy classes that come in their shorts and just a T-shirt. Just all different kinds of things. People dress up and wear different funny hats and. It's really a fun time. So the community relations group, they help put that together. And that is really neat because we raise a lot of money for Special Olympics. And the key there is integrated sports, which is so important for these young people who have developmental disabilities. And they really work towards working with other schools so they can be in a sports event, cheerleading event as well. Which is so important, and then of course it does support the Special Olympics and the Olympians that do all these special the athletes that do all these amazing things. So you know it's exactly the same as the regular Olympics. There's swimmers and there's runners and there's weightlifters and all of those and
some good athletes.
Good athletes.
Well, when I was in the military out at Vandenberg Air Force Base, I got into Special Olympics 1 year because they had the event on the base. And when you see the passion that these kids have that are in Special Olympics, it's like it's just amazing to watch the joy they get out of it.
There's this young man that does power lifting, and he's unbelievable. And whenever I get the chance to see him, you know, he grabs hold of my little chicken arms, you know, and he is massive, and he can lift some weights, and just a wonderful young man. And so we do a lot of those kinds of things, which is really, really fun to do. And, you know, we do a lot of things in regards to, like, community academies, like Citizens Academy and Youth Academy, where we allow the citizens of Douglas County come in and they sign up for this, and it's a week-long event. And so we teach them everything that the sheriff's office does, all the exposures, all the things that we do. That is so overwhelmingly positive that we can only take like 35 at a time. We already have a waiting list for the next one. We do the same with the Youth Academy. We bring the kids in. There's like a one-day event. And we expose them to a lot of different things that goes on in law enforcement, so they understand, you know, what to be aware of. But the Citizens Academy is much more expansive. Community Relations Unit runs that whole thing, and they really it's a goodwill unit. They sell the image of the law enforcement agency, and there's a number of agencies that have these. They sell the image of to their community.
Right.
Now, if somebody wanted to look into any of these and maybe either become a volunteer and know when they are so they can go. They're on the website.
They're on a website at dcsheriff.net. That's dcsheriff.net. And you can go on there and look for all different opportunities, Citizens Academy, Youth Academy, tours. You can ask for, can we get a special tour? either our substation or headquarters, and we do tours all the time. We do a lot of them with Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, church groups that will come in. We did I actually did the tour with a church group out of Parker of our jail, and they later came back and not only provided some religious materials for our office, but two of them came back and volunteered and now are actively involved in our chaplain program inside religious studies inside the jail. So it is a benefit.
Right. Absolutely.
Because you're helping others. So, but you said there was a list for this academy that you have. So if somebody wants to go on, they can just sign up for that, and they're on kind of a waiting list for it. How many times a year do you do it?
Well, we try to do two a year. I'm not sure. If they're listening to me right now, they're cringing because they're like, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do here? And like right now, we have one that's going to start, I think, in September. And then the next one won't be until
March or April.
And the end of the winter time. And so you can go on there and put your name in, and I think there's a little bit of information that you have to put in, and then we put on a waiting list, and then we'll ask again, sometime in the first part of the year. Okay, we're getting ready to do this. Are you still interested? This is the time commitment. These are the things that you'll need to do, and we never have a trouble filling that.
Sure.
Because people just want to hear about what goes on in law enforcement as a collective on a number of areas.
Right. We got to take our last break. When we come back, let's talk just a moment about, I think people would be interested in, what does it take to become a Douglas County Sheriff?
Sure.
What are the type of people you're looking for? What's kind of that process? How often you do academies? Things like that.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Do not try to navigate the maze of Medicare on your own, because confusion can be costly. Group insurance analysts will lay out your options in a clear, thorough manner so you don't make a mistake. Unless you do your research, you could get stuck with a Medicare plan that doesn't work for you. As independent brokers, group insurance analysts will do the research for you so you get the best possible premiums. They'll check the networks so you keep your current doctor, and they'll find a prescription drug plan that provides the most coverage for your medications. You won't get this kind of personalized expert advice anywhere else. Furthermore, Group Insurance Analysts provides Medicare recommendations at no cost to you, the customer. Call today so that Group Insurance Analysts may put together an easy-to-understand report tailored to fit your needs in retirement. 303-423-0162. That's 303-423-0162.
Hi, this is Kevin Trisna, owner of M4 Roofing and Gutters. Since 2004, it's been our mission to provide the highest quality of service and trust to every customer we serve. M4 Roofing and Gutters is a family-owned and operated company right here in Englewood, Colorado. At M4 Roofing and Gutters, quality customer service is our top priority. For a free inspection and estimate for your roofing project, call today, 303-797-8600. That's 303-797-8600. Or visit us online at m4roofing.com. M4 Roofing and Gutters is an A-plus member of the Better Business Bureau and haystackhelp.com.
Hi, this is Scott Watley. Let me tell you what I love about Stack Optical. They are truly one of the last optician-owned, family-owned optical stores. At Stack Optical, you can be confident you'll receive personal attention. For over 50 years, Alan Stack has shown he really cares about making his customers happy. Stack Optical also has a beautiful new location at 2233 South Monaco Parkway in Denver. Free and easy up-close parking. Stack Optical has an on-site eyeglass production lab. Whether you need office eyewear or a new set of shooting or golf glasses, Stack Optical has the solution with the Stack Sport Pack. Give them a call today and ask for their $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. Your eyes and vision are one of the most important things in life. I'm confident at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference. That's 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio, a very special edition today of Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. And we're glad to have Sheriff Tony Spurlock in studio with us. So we got about 6-7 minutes, but let's talk a little bit about what it takes to become a Douglas County Sheriff.
Sure. It is quite the process. I keep asking my professional standards unit, can we narrow this down a little bit? So it really starts as completing an application, which is about 30 pages long. And what they're looking for there is we want to see your life's history. And that's, if you're a young person coming in there, it's pretty easy to fill out. But so you have a pretty extensive
And minimum age?
21 years old. 21. Okay. to be a law enforcement officer in the state of Colorado. You then have to complete a medical exam to make sure that you're physically able to do that, you don't have any issues, that you can't do that. And then a psychological, which essentially is looking for the right type of personality to be a law enforcement officer in today's world.
Changed?
It has changed. It has changed significantly. Yeah, there's a from when I took the test to where they're taking the test now, I said, that's not the same question.
You probably would have failed.
I could
pass. But now you're the chief.
Yeah. And then, we have an extensive background check, too, where we do we look back to make sure that everyone, that you can be a police officer, that you haven't committed any crimes. And so we do an extensive background check. That's just the first part of it.
Right.
Yeah. So if you get past all of that, and if we hire you straight into the academy, you have to go through the academy process as well. And that's the same thing, sitting in front of an oral board, answering a bunch of questions. Some of them might be scenario-driven. Some of them just like, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And in today's world, we have so many people that are so consumed with all these other issues. We have to ask those questions. Where are you at? And then, they go to the academy. It's a long time, 22, 24 weeks in the academy, which starts out, it's brutal in the beginning. The very first day, you're going to go run 3-4 miles, and then they're going to come back, and then they're going to give you a written test, and then it just starts, and that's what it goes on, every day until graduation. They really focus. The neat thing about Douglas County is that we have a shared academy. Arapahoe County Sheriff and my office, we share an academy. So we put an academy on 2 times a year, January to June, July to December. So we run 2 academies, usually about 27 cadets. We sell a few seats to smaller jurisdictions that can't afford to run their own police academy. And then once they get out of that academy, they have 2 tests they have to take. They have to take a pre-post test. And POST is the Police Officer Standards course, which every police officer in the state of Colorado has to take. But they have a pre-test to graduate the academy, and then they have to sit for the POST test. That's the final test, which brings all those weeks together. And then once they pass that, then they graduate the academy. To take someone from the start to finish is essentially 6 months with the application process and the academy. It's a little more than 6 months, probably about 8 months to get through that process. It's expensive, it's time consuming, and we have gotten it down pretty good where the dropout rate is pretty low. We can screen a lot of that. Right. But then you have another year in the training program, which is, that's another screening program where that trims off a few others that just can't, they can't get through one issue or the other. So it's pretty extensive. Mm-hmm. That's the basic, that's the process to work here at the Sheriff's Office in Douglas County. We do hire laterally every once in a while. We'll take cops from other jurisdictions.
Right.
But I've kind of grown up with grow your own, if you will, and we send our own to the academy, and we run them through this whole process. You really get to know people that way, and they also get a commitment to where they're at, and they'll tend to stay, and so they're not job
being a police officer now. You really want to be a police officer.
You really have to want to, especially if you're a younger person. You want to be able to make that change. And as I said before, when we were off the air, we talked about I have a pretty extensive female population, and they're bright people. Both men and women are very, very bright people, and it's intellectually is the key today. You have to be very, very smart. You need to be able to run all of the technology that is going to be put your way. And then you also have to have that same personality to have many patients and have the ability to adjust and adapt to any kind of circumstance.
In a split second.
In a split second.
How right. many officers does Douglas County have?
We have 550 employees and 375 deputy sheriffs.
You're looking for more? You maxed? How many, roughly how many a year leave, retire in comparison to what's coming in?
We hire roughly about 35 deputies a year. We retire probably 20 of those on a cycle.
Yes.
And then new deputies for the new process. So there's a significant number that moves through there just as the deputy sheriff's numbers every year. We are now getting to be a little bit of an older agency, so we have a lot of people that have been around a long time that are regular just street cops, but they've been around a long time, starting to get their 25, 30 years in. They're going to call it quits. We have these youngsters that come in. Hopefully, they stick with it. We get a number of those that just see the opportunity to make a lot more money.
Absolutely.
You graduate from college and you have an opportunity to make six figures as opposed not six figures.
Exactly. Real quick, so Charlie, I'm going to press this here a little bit, but just got a text in. Very important question. Has the Douglas County Sheriff's Office done the lip sync challenge yet?
Yes, we did.
The lip sync challenge.
We did. So we did I Want to Be a Cowboy by Toby Keith. Cool thing about that was we got to actually meet Toby Keith.
Oh,
he was in Cheyenne the week that we put it out, and his producer called a news person and called our staff, and we sent eight people up there and got some backstage passes, got to meet him. It was pretty cool. It was kind of fun.
Wow. Well, cool. Mr. Spurlock, thank you, sir.
Thank you
for
having
me. It's always great to have
you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Kurt, thanks for setting that up.
Thanks.
Again, our show is brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. Give Kurt a call if he can help you out, 720-895-0500. Want to thank you for being with us today. Remember, September the 9th, get out to Douglas County Fairgrounds. Let's help support this great effort. A lot of softball going on, a lot of fun, and for a great cause. Have a great day and leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.